How can I look to the cross of Jesus and visualize and understand what he did for me there and hold back anything for myself? I should give him all.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
It goes without saying, perhaps, that Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. Jesus Christ is the great emancipator. Jesus Christ is the one who sets us free from all the ugly things that would seek to destroy our soul in this life and in the life to come. And the religion of Jesus, if I can use that term, I know it's an elastic term, but if I can use that term, Jesus is the one who rescues men from the evil and the hopeless situation in which they find themselves. Jesus is the one who breaks the chains which bind a man to the past. And he is the one who gives to a man power which enables him to meet the future. And so we read in the pages of the scripture, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why shall we call his name Jesus? "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people. That's a word of rescue. It's a word of emancipation. It's a word of liberation and of deliverance. There's something wonderfully powerful about that word, save, about that concept, salvation, about that personality we call a Savior. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." We're taught in the scripture, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. We read from the pen of the Apostle John that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, the great deliverer, the great emancipator. He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4 and verse 14. That rescue, of which Jesus Christ is the source and the personification, that rescue, that deliverance, that emancipation, which is the great theme of the scripture, is beautifully portrayed for us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. Now, I'd like you to notice with me, if you have your Bibles, I hope you haven't opened to this section here, Hebrews the second chapter, verses 14 to 15. I would like you to notice with me for the next few moments three steps that seem to be unfolded right here in this passage, three steps that are essential to our being rescued, three logical and necessary steps in the unfolding of the redemptive process of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three steps that are essential to our being rescued. I see them unfolded for us here in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. What do you see there? The first thing I see is step number one, incarnation. He accepted flesh. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." I see incarnation. He accepted flesh. The second thing I see is propitiation. He accosted Satan through his death. The third thing that I see in the latter part of that section, verse 15, is emancipation. He accomplished redemption. Three steps essential to our being rescued: incarnation, propitiation, his death, emancipation. We are delivered from the entangling and contaminating influence of Satan and of sin. Now let's look at these for just a moment. The first, as I see it here in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 14, is this issue of incarnation, where we're taught that he accepted flesh. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now that's the first step in the whole redemptive process. That's the first step in the rescue operation for humanity. God became flesh. Incarnation. He accepted flesh. He did that for you. It's an act of unbelievable condescension, unbelievable humility, unbelievable love. It's an act of that nature for you and for me, incarnation. Now the second step is in the latter part of verse 14, and it's what I call, and I'm borrowing a biblical term here, it's a term that occurs in the Bible, propitiation. What is propitiation? I think in a sentence, to reduce it to a very simple definition, propitiation is satisfaction of a debt by sacrificial investment. That's the second step in achieving our deliverance, our rescue, an unbelievable act of humility and sacrifice. And then the third is in verse 15, what I call emancipation. He accomplished redemption. The Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Emancipation. We have been delivered. We have been emancipated through Christ's finished work. What are those things from which the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free? I wonder if I could just very quickly list five of them for you. Those things from which the Lord Jesus Christ has emancipated us or set us free. What are the things from which we are delivered? Salvation is deliverance, number one, from life's infections. A man is saved from a crooked and perverse and untoward, the Bible says, Acts 2:40, an untoward or a crooked and perverse generation. From the soiling infections of this world, the deliverance of Jesus Christ provides a man with a divine antiseptic, which enables him to walk in the world and yet keep his garments unspotted from the world. It's a powerful thing, this deliverance. It's a deliverance not only from life's infections, but salvation is a deliverance, secondly, from lostness. Luke, the 19th chapter and verse 10, teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And it means, on a practical basis, that Jesus turns men and women who are groping in the darkness. He turns us first from that way which leads to the most deadly kind of death, and then into that way which leads to the most vital kind of life. We are delivered, one, from life's infections. We're delivered, two, from lostness. And then salvation is a deliverance, number three, from wrath. Paul could say in Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 9, that we shall be saved from wrath through him. God's wrath, have you ever thought about God's wrath? It's an awesome thing. Salvation is deliverance, number four, from sin. The Bible says, you shall call his name Jesus. And then it tells us why we shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Jehovah saves. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall deliver his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The moment a man accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately he is saved, delivered, emancipated, set free from sin's penalty. He is then progressively saved, delivered, emancipated, or liberated from sin's power. And he will ultimately be delivered from sin's presence. He sets us free from sin. And then, number five, salvation is a deliverance from death. So Paul could say, as he wrote of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul could say of our Savior that he hath abolished death, and he hath brought life and immortality to light. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. He hath abolished death. That means that death for the Christian is no longer the grim ogre it once was. Nor is it any longer the great unmentionable. We can talk about it freely. We have nothing to fear at the hands of death. The sting of death is gone because of the death of Jesus Christ in our behalf. The atoning death of the Son of God is broken and canceled the power of death over us. Death is no longer the abyss of nothingness for the Christian. It is the gateway on the skyline. It is deprived of its penal aspect. It is a medium of nothing other than promotion into the presence of God. Emancipation. We have been set free through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the great deliverance. Let me review it with you for just a moment. Here is the great deliverance. It begins with Christ's incarnation. He accepted flesh. It is built more precisely upon his propitiation, his death, by which he satisfied God's righteous claims against us and disarmed Satan's accusations against us. It's built upon his propitiation. And it becomes ours, personally, as we experience emancipation, as we open up our hearts to the Son of God and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ personally? Have you ever placed your faith in his dying so that he could send his Holy Spirit to inhabit your being so that you could be successful in your living? Has there ever been that time personally when you've opened up your heart to the Son of God? Without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no emancipation, there is no deliverance. Without the Son of God, we are still bound by our sins. We are still bound by Satan. We are still bound by our fears. For such people, outside the Son of God, those who have not experienced this emancipation, his incarnation, his propitiation, his emancipation, all of them expressions of his love for you and for me, those of us who have not yet come to experience that precious commodity, we are still bound by these ugly things. Death is for us that grim ogre. Death is for us that great unmentionable, that thing that we dare not discuss or talk about, except in some remote context. But it does not need to be so because of what the Son of God has done on our behalf. It may be that most of us have placed our faith in the Son of God. We have been saved. But let me ask you this. We who have trusted Christ and experienced this emancipation, how can we be an ungrateful people? You've been delivered. You've been set free from sin and from Satan, from all these ugly things that contaminate and pollute a man's life. That deliverance is yours for the here and now and for the hereafter, for time and for eternity. Jesus Christ has made it possible for you. How can we be an ungrateful people? I wonder if any of us came here with a spirit of murmuring and of complaining, an unlovely spirit of ungratefulness. The most graceless sin in all the world is the sin of ingratitude. How can we be ungrateful? How can we, who are the emancipated people of God, who understand the incarnation and who appreciate the propitiation, the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, how can we who are the people of God, we who look at the cross, how can we look at the cross and hold back anything for ourselves? It's a probing question. How can I look to the cross of Jesus and visualize and understand what he did for me there and hold back anything for myself? I should give him all because he gave all for me. How can we who are delivered fail to give him absolute control over every corner of our lives? These are probing questions that every one of us need to answer. Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. He's the great emancipator. He's the great liberator. He's the one who sets us free. He took the necessary steps to achieve that precious blessing for every one of us. Have you received it? Have you trusted him as your Savior? If you have, are you grateful? Have you held anything back for yourself? Is there a certain dark corner of the heart that's still reserved for you and out from under his control? If so, we need to come yielding those areas of our lives to him.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet every one of our needs and deserving of every one of our loyalties.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.